From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue a series he recently began on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you'll find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of his kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning is found in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 23. And David inquired of the Lord. When David made this inquiry, he had just fought the Philistines and gained a signal victory. The Philistines came up in great hosts, but by the help of God, David had easily put them to flight. Note, however, that when they came a second time, David did not go up to fight them without inquiring of the Lord. Once he had been victorious, and he might have said, as many have in other cases, I shall be victorious again. I may rest quite sure that if I have conquered once, I shall triumph yet again. Wherefore should I tarry to seek at the Lord's hands? Not so David. He had gained one battle by the strength of the Lord. He would not venture upon another until he had ensured the same. He inquired, Shall I go up against them? He waited until God's sign was given. Learn from David to take no step without God. Christian, if thou wouldst know the path of duty, take God for thy compass. If thou wouldst steer thy ship through the dark billows, put the tiller into the hand of the Almighty. Many a rock might be escaped if we would let our Father take the helm. Many a shoal or quicksand we might well avoid if we would leave to his sovereign will to choose and to command. The Puritan said, As sure as ever a Christian carves for himself, he'll cut his own fingers. This is a great truth. Said another old divine, He that goes before the cloud of God's providence goes on a fool's errand. And so he does. We must mark God's providence leading us. And if providence tarries, tarry till providence comes. He who goes before providence will be very glad to run back again. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, is God's promise to his people. Let us then take all our perplexities to him, and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Leave not thy chamber this morning without inquiring of the Lord.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies that he recently began on the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of the messages, he'll present a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him to fill the role which God had for him. Part of the purpose of these studies is to show that God has a work for each of his people to do, employing the gifts the Lord has given. Dr. Cairns first examines how God selects his servants, looking particularly at the characteristics and qualifications of each one. We've seen that the men Jesus called to be his apostles were insignificant in the eyes of the world. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, God could have used angels to proclaim the gospel, but instead he chose to use men. Now, with the next portion of a message called God's Use of Human Instruments, here is Dr. Cairns.
Around the world, there have been groups of men, some men of great mental activity, others men of great military activity, men who have imposed the stamp of their genius upon the development of the world. But of all the groups of men who have ever redirected the stream of human history, surely none can compare to these men, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are introduced to us in the Word of God without fanfare. They're introduced as very ordinary men. When you read of how some of them were individually called to follow Christ, you'll discover that they were called from the most ordinary, everyday, sometimes even the most menial of occupations. The original 12 were, with one exception, Judas Iscariot, probably all from a very tiny geographical area. It appears that with the exception of Judas, they were all from the region of Galilee. They were not men of great world vision. They were not men of great world wisdom. They were not men who had been exposed to the marketplace of ideas in cities like Athens. These were people from a very uncultured, a very unlettered, and a very unpromising background in rural Israel. They had none of the marks of human greatness, the marks that the world would expect to find. I think, could you have looked into their childhood, not one of them had the precocious talent, say, of a Winston Churchill. There's always an encouragement to little boys going to school in Britain if they weren't quite in the A stream to think of Winston Churchill, because he also was stupid at school. And look what he became. The truth of the matter is, Winston Churchill was a genius at school. He was not stupid, but he was the most rebellious and ornery and selfish little creature that ever afflicted a schoolmaster. And that's just by the way. He's gone. He can't come back to haunt me for that. But he did have that precocity. These men didn't. They had none of the marks of what the world would call human greatness. And yet, through the labors of these 12 unlettered, uncultured, untaught, unpromising men from a little rural backwater in the land of Israel, the course of the history of the world was changed. And as you look at a map of the world today, you can very easily see that all that Europe and America and South America and great portions of Africa and Asia, as well as Australasia, all that they have that is truly good, all that they have that is truly promising or uplifting or gainful to mankind, can ultimately be traced back through many generations, but to the labors, to the ministry, to the message, to the courage, to the accomplishments under God of these Galilean men. The text that we have taken at the beginning of Matthew 10 tells us of the call and of the first commission of these 12 men. And that tells us, and this is what I want us to think mainly about tonight, it tells us something, in fact it tells us a lot, about the Lord's use of human instruments. And I want you to get this, because if we do come to look at these biographies one by one, it's very important that we get them in context. There's one great drawback to preachers preaching about the figures of history in the Bible. And that is that you listen to a sermon on Moses and you walk out saying, "My, what a great man Moses was. Isn't it a terrible pity we don't have any Moseses today? Or what a great man Elijah was. Isn't it a tragedy that I can't be like Elijah?" You know, when biblical biography exalts the man, and that's all there is to it, it has missed the point. The context here shows us, and this is why God chose these men, this is why he used them. It shows us that when you're looking at these 12 men, and this is why they are unique, you've got to go beyond the men and see behind the men the Lord using human instruments. Now let me start at rock bottom. And let's point this out. It's so simple we can overlook it. The Lord uses men. Now that's an amazing thing in itself. I do not mean by that simply that all things, whether they be angels, men, or demons, whether they be animate or inanimate, all things ultimately serve His pleasure, accomplish His will, and establish His purpose. That is true, for God is sovereign. But what I am saying here is that God deliberately has chosen to make man the special instruments that He is going to employ in the most important service in the universe. And let's understand that. He could have used angels. They are ready to do His bidding. But He didn't. He uses man. Let me remind you of what my friend, I don't know, my something or other, Mike Barrett said in Sunday school the other morning. Only let me turn it around on him. You listen to him in Sunday school, right? He imposes that strong personality upon you. He brings this Michigan accent down to you poor Southerners, and he hits you with it. Right? When he gets into difficulty with the English, he just lapses into the Hebrew or the Greek. It's always easy to baffle somebody if you can rattle on in another language. And what they don't know will not do them any harm. But remember that text in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now I'm going to quote what he said about me, only really the Lord wrote it about him. The earthen vessel is an old, what was it? Pot. Just an old pot. So when you look at Mike there with his finely, well, I'm not going to a description of his physique, but remember he's just an old pot. And a lot older than he lets on. And if you want to prove that, just go see an ice skid, the first pot you've ever seen in skids. But anyway, that's all men are. We have this treasure in pots. We have this treasure in vessels made of clay. These are not your super modern works of art in stainless steel. These are vessels made out of the clay of the earth. And God says, I have taken the treasure of the gospel. I have taken the treasure of that message which can shake and break the powers of hell, that can go into the darkest dens and dives of human suffering and set sinners free. This treasure of a message that God has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and I have not given it to angels. If God sent Gabriel and all His angels to Greenville to preach the gospel, what would happen? Men and women would worship the messenger and they would miss the message. God says, I send these men, insignificant, made out of the same clay as all other men, with all the drawbacks and the imperfections, with all the lack of promise and talent, I use these men to spread the glorious message of the gospel. I've often said to you that I think one of the most amazing things in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 10. Where you have a man seeking the Lord, a Roman centurion. He had fallen in love with the truth that he found in Judaism. He was seeking the Lord Jehovah. He was doing the best he could, but of course, he wasn't saved. But you know, there's no man seeks the Lord in vain. And wherever there is a soul honestly seeking the Lord Jehovah, the Lord will make a way that He is going to reveal Himself to that man. For the promise is, seek me and you'll find me. And he was seeking. And the Lord did an extraordinary thing. In answer to his prayer, He sent a shining angel from heaven. What a wonderful way to hear the gospel, you would say. What a wonderful way to be introduced to Jesus Christ, that God would send an angel from heaven. But you couldn't be further from the truth. For the angel did not have the privilege of pointing Cornelius to Christ. The angel was sent with the message, send for Peter. Send for the man. Imagine this, an angel who could preach much better than Peter could ever preach. He would never make a mistake. There would never be any taint of sin or imperfection about the service rendered by the angel. But no, the Lord would only allow that angel to say, send for a man, because in this great ministry of getting out the gospel, I am using men. Now I want this to get through to our hearts. I want us tonight to stand back and realize that our weakness, our manhood, our humanness, our imperfections, the fact that we are made of clay is not a hindrance to the God of heaven using us in the work of God, and that it is not an excuse for you and me doing nothing. We so often say, well, if I were this and that and that and that, then I would serve the Lord. That is just so much of a hypocritical excuse. The Lord uses men. And He's going to use men. And where men are the instruments of His power, the world will yet see what God can do. I don't want to labor the point, but I was reading a very interesting article by the pastor of Spurgeon's Tabernacle in London, and he was dealing with conscious or unconscious hyper-Calvinism among those who believe in the doctrines of grace. And he said, somehow or other it has come to be accepted by too many people that the preacher only needs to present the message. There is no pleading. There is no imploring sinners. There is no going after sinners. It's as if all you have to do is throw out a few words and just leave them hanging there in the air. Nothing could be further from the truth. It was Calvinists like William Carey who took the gospel to the heathen when the entire Christian church believed that there was no need to evangelize the heathen. In England, it was a Baptist Calvinist like Andrew Fuller who started to preach about preaching Christ with desire, with tears, with entreaties, with realizing that salvation does not come like a thunderbolt from heaven despite man or without the use of man, but that God actually takes you and me and others like us and uses us to reach the lost. We are not onlookers in the drama of redemption. We are not spectators in the work of the saving of the lost. And the sooner we recognize that God is not going to send revival to His church merely out of the clear blue heavens while we simply sit back and applaud, the sooner we realize that, the better. God, if He's going to do anything, is going to do it in us and through us. For God uses man.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615.
Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.